You may be seated. It's nice to be with you on this beautiful Lord's Day, and we thank you for coming. We have visitors with us. We're glad to see you. Encourage you to take part in our study by opening your Bible, searching the scriptures, and taking whatever notes you might like. I appreciate the good reading just a few moments ago from the book of 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 58, when the apostle, having written about resurrection truths, said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's the kind of Christian that I want to be. How about you? A steadfast, unmovable, always abounding Christian. Do you think that would allow us to think in terms of minimums? What's the least I can do to get by, to be saved, and to make it to heaven? Or do you believe that we need to think in terms of maximums? How much can I do? Can I do more in the service of my Lord? I want to encourage each one of us to commit ourselves to always abounding in the work of the Lord. That word abounding is an interesting word. It suggests to be over, to be in abundance, to overflow. And I'd like to call our attention this morning to some things that are necessary if we're going to abound in the work of the Lord. First of all, we need to abound in faith. When Paul wrote the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 7, he said, "Therefore, as you abound in everything," and he made a list of things in which he said they were abounding. And he headed that list with faith. Are you abounding in faith today? The book of Hebrews chapter 11 teaches us about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, verse 1. We learn the necessity of faith, how that in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. That's God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And we have record of great people of faith, like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and many others. These were all said to have faith because of what they did. And the Bible reports in verse 13, these all died in faith. Will that be said of you or me? He died in faith. She died in faith. In order for that to be said, then we must live by faith. The Bible teaches that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, in Romans 10 and in verse 17. Writing the church of the Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, Paul could pay them this great compliment. He said, "Your faith groweth exceedingly." What's happening to your faith? Are you abounding in faith? But if we're going to abound in the work of the Lord, we need to abound in utterance. That's the second thing mentioned in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7. Utterance is equivalent to preaching. Notice this statement by the apostle in the Ephesian letter in chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, he requested prayers on his behalf. He said that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Are we abounding in utterance, in speaking as we ought to speak, in preaching the gospel? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, again, Paul said, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." The mystery of Christ is the mystery of the gospel. Paul said, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe," in 1 Corinthians 1:21. He said in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so we need to abound in all utterance in preaching the gospel. As Paul said in Romans 10 and in verse 14, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" In addition to that, we need to abound in knowledge. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7. "Could it be said of you today, you're filled with all knowledge?" Romans 15 and verse 14. Notice Paul's desire and prayer for the brethren at Colossae. In Colossians 1, 9, he said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing." Increasing in what? The knowledge of God. There are two key expressions there concerning this point. In verse 9, he said that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And in verse 10, he said, increasing in the knowledge of God. Unfortunately, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34, some have not the knowledge of God, and such is a shame. How's your knowledge of God and of his will of spiritual things? We are to add knowledge to our faith, 2 Peter 1, 5. We are to grow in knowledge, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. If we're going to abound in the work of the Lord, then we need to abound in knowledge. But also, we need to abound in all diligence. Again, from 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7. That word diligence means earnestness. It's earnestness in accomplishing, promoting, or striving after anything. We can't be lazy and go to heaven. We have to work at it. We have to put forth every effort. We have to be earnest. Peter penned in 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, giving all diligence. And then he said in verse 10, "Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." And then again in this second epistle of Peter in chapter 3 and verse 14, among his final words was this statement, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless." Are you abounding in all diligence? But again, from 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, to abound in the work of the Lord, we're going to have to abound in love. Notice how Paul said that in regard to the Corinthians. He said, "And in your love to us." That's brotherly love. We need to be filled to the brim and running over with that kind of love. Paul said in Romans 12 and in verse 10, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." And he penned these words to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 9. "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." The writer of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 1 said, "Let brotherly love," what's the last word? "Continue." And so we need to abound in love. Also, we are to abound in giving. Notice in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, after saying you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, and all diligence, and in your love to us, he said, "See that ye abound in this grace also." What is this grace? This is the grace of giving that he just talked about in the first six verses. He talked about the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power." That shows they made sacrifice. They went beyond their ability. willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you this same grace also. And he says, abound in this grace. What is this grace? This is the grace of sacrificial giving. To abound in the word of the Lord is to abound in this grace. It has to do with the ministering to the saints. Chapter 9 and verse 1. And he said in verse 6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Also, abounding in the work of the Lord includes abounding in every good work. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, he said, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound. Abound to what? Every good work. That involves being fruitful in every good work, Colossians 1 and verse 10. If you were to write down the name of somebody who you'd say abounded in every good work, who is fruitful in every good work, what name would you put out? Would it be Tabitha, who is full of good works and alms deeds which she did, Acts 9 and verse 36? You might very well write down the name Tabitha. The Bible teaches that we're to be rich in good works, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 18, and zealous of good works, Titus 2 and verse 14. And so we need to abound in every good work, but also we need to abound in hope. Where would we be without hope today? Paul said in Romans 15 and verse 13, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches there is one hope, Ephesians 4:4. It's the hope of the gospel, Colossians 1:23, and it's laid up for you in heaven, Colossians 1:5. We have hope of eternal life, Titus 1:2 and 3:7. And that hope is found in the Lord. Paul, writing the Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 12, said, at that time ye were without Christ. And I want you to notice the condition of those without Christ. He said in the last part of that verse, having no hope and without God in the world. All of those who are without Christ are without hope. You don't have to be there. You can be in the Lord where there's hope. By being baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. And this hope will serve as an anchor for your soul, Hebrews 6, 18 to 19. And Paul said we're saved by hope in Romans 8 and verse 24. And so when you face death and loss of loved ones, you don't have to sorrow as others which have no hope. As Paul wrote to the Thessalonians to comfort them concerning their loved ones who had passed away. Are you abounding in hope? But also, to abound in the work of the Lord, we need to abound in thanksgiving. I'm thankful we have a day set aside in this country that we think about thanksgiving. But I hope that we realize that thanksgiving is something that ought to be a part of us every day. It's not something we just set aside for one day out of the year. But that's our nature. That's our character, that we're a thankful people. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, that's Christ Jesus the Lord, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thank you. I appreciate you. I appreciate that. I'm grateful. Are words that ought to be heard often among the people of God. A lot of people are ungrateful. You remember the question the Lord asked along this line with regard to the 10 lepers? Where are the 9? How many of the 10 came back to say, thank you, Lord? Only one of them. And so that may suggest that the majority of people are ungrateful. I need to have the courtesy and the common decency to say thank you. And especially to be thankful to God. We have so much to be thankful for. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In Ephesians 5 and 20, he said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great passage. Let's commit that to our practice, to give thanks always for all things. But also, abounding in the work of the Lord will involve us abounding in these added things. From Peter's epistle in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. He said in verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. What am I to add to my faith? Somebody said, I thought we were saved by faith only. Well, if that would be true, then no need to add to your faith, right? But you know, the book says, not by faith only, James 2:24. And this teaching will allow for faith only. When he said, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Seven additions to faith. And these are the things that we're talking about when he said, add to your faith. Note verse 8. He said, if these things be in you, what things? These added things, these seven additions. And what's the next word? Abound. What's the result? They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you a question without you getting upset. Are these things in you? Do they abound? If we're going to abound in the work of the Lord, then we need to abound in these added things. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we abound in the work of the Lord, it'll never be in vain. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I hope you'll remember that. And if you go away and don't remember anything else, that you remember that we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And do you genuinely believe that we can, any one of us, make it to heaven with the thinking that I'm just going to do the bare minimum, just the least that I can do? You think we can go to heaven, make it to heaven with that kind of thinking? Or is it going to take us giving all we've got, doing everything we can, abounding? And if these words don't describe you today, do they? Are you steadfast? Are you unmovable? Are you always abounding in the work of the Lord? Do these words describe you? If not, then some change needs to take place. What would need to change in your life for it to be said of you? He is steadfast. She is steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And when you make those changes and you put forth the effort to be characterized and described in that way, then it'll not be in vain, because your labor is not in vain, the Lord. We'd like to invite you today to become a Christian, a child of God, and all things are ready. God gave His Son for you. His Son gave His life. He shed His blood. In whom we have redemption. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. The forgiveness of sins. But that's bestowed conditionally. Here are the conditions. We have to hear. We learned already, faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10, 17. We must believe. The Lord said, if you believe not that I'm He, you shall die in your sins. John 8, 24. We must repent. That is God commanded of all men everywhere. Acts 17, 30. We must confess our faith like the man of Ethiopia. When he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 37. Be baptized. When folks heard the first recorded gospel sermon, and they said, what shall we do? They were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, Acts 2:38. And to be faithful. The Lord said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. If you've already done that, but you've not been steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, there's sin in your life that needs to be corrected. We need to repent of that and pray about it. Just like Simon, after he was baptized, his heart was not right with God, in Acts 8, and he is told, repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. If you're in need of that, we'll pray for you. As together we stand and sing, we invite you to come.